More sexual harassment charges are exposed against national figures as the Me Too movement continues to grow. Good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9, and thanks for listening out there. I'm Melissa Ross. We're always live at 9. Also, never miss a show. You can get our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or through our app. Just ahead, another prominent media figure is suspended due to allegations of sexual harassment. A closer look as we speak with local women who decide to take their Me Too stories public, too. Get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, attorney Wayne Hogan on some of the most dangerous toys out there this holiday season, what you need to not put under the tree. Plus, it's our holiday pledge drive. You can show your financial support for WJCT by calling us up right now at 353-9528. All of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, another prominent male media star is accused of harassment. PBS says it will no longer distribute The Tavis Smiley Show after what a spokeswoman calls multiple incredible allegations of sexual misconduct uncovered after an investigation into the behavior of the late-night host. Now, Smiley is just the latest in a long line of prominent men to lose their high-profile careers after multiple allegations of harassment are leveled against them. We've been seeing this for months now, playing out in the media field, in entertainment, in the business world, and even in our politics. Just note the stunning upset in Alabama Tuesday after Democrat Doug Jones narrowly beat Republican Roy Moore in that state Senate race after Jones faced many accusations of harassing and molesting teenage girls. The Me Too movement has swept the nation as women finally feel empowered to start telling their stories, some decades old, of being harassed and sexually assaulted in the workplace. Here in Jacksonville, women are speaking out, too. This morning, we begin the show with one woman's story as attorney Elizabeth Bowen joins us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good to have you on the show. Also with us, Dr. V. Brooks Dunbar. She's a consultant and business coach with Jacksonville Center for Confidence. Dr. Dunbar, thanks for bringing a little confidence to the show today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And here's our question to callers. What's your reaction to the Me Too movement and the national reckoning we're having in this country when it comes to the issue of harassment in the workplace? Do you have a story to tell? Do you feel that the movement is due for a backlash? Some men feel very upset about this. Give us a call. We want to know what you think. The number to join us, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online and send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets go to @MelissaInJax. And we welcome your comments on our Facebook page as well. So Elizabeth Bowen, let's begin with you. You are a Jacksonville native. You have deep roots here. You're the granddaughter of Jim Stockton, one of the founders of the firm Stockton, Whatley, and Davin. And you began your path as a professional in the office of the late Charlie Bennett, in the U.S. House of Representatives. So your story began there, and unfortunately, it wasn't a positive start to your career in Bennett's office. Can you begin by telling us that story?
Yes, Melissa. I began working for Congressman Bennett, and I was I enjoyed the work very much, and I was very interested in potentially working on the Hill. And at some point, after I started out as a receptionist, actually, at some point, I got promoted to the position of legislative correspondent. And one night, Congressman Bennett, he didn't like people to work late, so it was after 5, came in, and I was putting legislation on a computerized system and he basically said, "What are you doing?" And I told him, and he said, "Well, that's a boss's job." And he later explained to me that in his office, bosses were men and secretaries were women. And he said that I could keep my pay raise, but I would need to be a secretary.
You needed to be demoted back to secretary because only men could be managers in his office.
Right, And I do understand that he eventually changed that, but that inspired me to leave the office and to pursue a career in law.
Let's be clear. You were basically forced out of your career aspirations on Capitol Hill simply because of your gender and because the congressman you worked for, the late Charles Bennett, who is lauded to this day as this incredible figure, he behaved in a very, let's just come right in and say it. Now, this was a long time ago. What year was it, by the way?
It was 81, 82.
All right, 1981. He behaved in an incredibly sexist manner. He forced you to take a demotion if you wanted to stay, simply because you were a woman.
Correct.
Yeah. So you went into law, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You became a lawyer.
Yes.
And then what happened?
So I became a lawyer, and with the thought that in the legal profession, I wouldn't face the same kind of discrimination. And I have a long career in Washington for large firms, for small firms, and I'm sad to say that in the vast majority of firms I've been in, there has been some sort of discrimination or harassment. Either, you know, discrimination in the form of, well, I'm not going to give you, you're not, even though you have a lot more hours and you've made a lot more money for the firm, I'm not going to give you the same bonus because Larry is a father of three. And, you know, he has a family and he needs the money. So that was a form of discrimination. I'm like, well, that doesn't work for me because maybe I'd have a family if I wasn't working every weekend too. And as far as harassment, I'm really sad to say that you know, it's actually not gotten better over the years. It's gotten worse.
How did it get worse?
I have, in almost, in more than 70% of the jobs, I have had to endure some sort of harassment. Mostly, I'm sad to say, from married men. I've
propositioning
worked,
you.
Oh, calling me after work on a cell phone, asking me if I multitask while I'm having sex as well, because I'm such a good multitasker. Then sending me little, you know, quippy emails, hey, little girl, want a cookie? Making comments about my clothing, just
all the types of things that have led to, frankly, this wave of firings and discussion about what is inappropriate conduct in the workplace, particularly between a male supervisor and a female subordinate, which is not always the dynamic, but a lot of the time.
And the key is that it's coming out now after the women have left. Because when you are a woman and you are in a position where you need a job, you end up just trying, you say, you know, I've clearly said no, you know, not if you put $10 million on my desk, the answer is still no. I've looked for other jobs in situations where I've been harassed, but, you know, I had no liberty to walk out the door and say, because I had three children to feed. I just wanted a workplace where I could do a good job, make money for the firm, and go home at night and not have to face that type of harassment.
And Dr. Dunbar, that's what every woman wants. That's what every person wants in the workplace.
Yes,
that's simply to be treated with dignity.
Absolutely. Respect and dignity is the code that we all need to live and work by. And unfortunately, what I see in my office is that the situation has been, work environment has been increased to a toxic level or a hostile level. And these women are seeking outlets, ways to just find their voice and talk it out. I use confidence as my benchmark for coaching because for me, confidence is when it occurs when a person has trust and belief in their own choices and decisions and faith in the outcomes. And that's what these individuals are seeking. They're in a very compromising, as Elizabeth was saying, this is a work-life situation. And they have to make serious choices. And often they're afraid. They're confused. They're not sure of what's happening. And my role is to help them to find their voice and to find their own decisions and to think about what works best for them and what the best option is to move forward. Sometimes that includes, if they haven't reported or haven't spoken out yet, sometimes that includes just starting with journaling, just writing it down. The first thing is of course, to confront the person and to explain to them that this is unwanted behavior. Sexual harassment is unwanted behavior, and that has to be made very clear. And when the person is put on notice, that is when any process of moving beyond it and addressing it starts. And what I want to do is to make sure, and that's why I'm offering free coaching to women who feel they're victims of sexual harassment, is to help them to figure out the best way out for them and their family. Sometimes that includes leaving. Sometimes that includes just, I can't leave right now. I need to figure out a strategy. I have to do something. What is that? And they're allowed to have that private, non-judgmental space to just talk it out and to figure it out for themselves. It has to be a decision that they make, and it has to be in their own voice and what's comfortable for them.
Right. Women need that kind of coaching support. They need moral and psychological support, and they need often good legal advice. You know that too, as an attorney, Elizabeth.
You know, Melissa, and I'm really sad to say once again that in a couple of these instances, I have sought legal advice, and basically, in both instances, the advice was: if you pursue charges, you will never work in this town again, and so because you'll be marked, so you can pursue charges. It'll cost you X amount of dollars. You ultimately, it'll take this many years. But in the last occurrence, the person said, if you're going to move, then pursue this. But if you want a job in Jacksonville, you can't.
You can't speak out. You can't sue.
Not right. If you want to be reemployed.
And, I do think that that's why so much anger is pouring forth and these floodgates have opened across all industries in this country, because so many women have been muzzled by non-disclosure agreements when they allege harassment, and sometimes men too, but the majority are women. So many women have been forced out of their chosen career field altogether because they decide, based on the dynamic you just mentioned, that they might as well just leave, move on, do something different. Their career aspirations are cut short because they know that the harasser has so much more power than they do, and they are not going to continue to advance in the field they chose. So they just leave, and all that talent is wasted. We're wasting a lot of talent because of this dysfunction in our culture. That's the tragedy more than anything that I see, Dr. Dunbar.
Absolutely. What I talk about also is is how a person can better understand their formal culture and their informal culture. Elizabeth and I were talking earlier, and some of the harassment started within a month of her starting the new job. And that is one of the biggest windows of opportunities for harassers, because this individual is new. They have not yet formed relationships within the organization, and they're eager to learn. They're eager to become part of the organization. When a person or an individual is new to a job, one of the things that can be helpful is just to understand, to talk to some of the other women or some of the other individuals in that job and start forming those, I call it relational confidence, the types of relationships that give you a sense of safety and empowerment to speak out if anything does happen. These individuals already know the culture. They already know the who's on notice. They already have an understanding of what's going on. And a lot of times we are isolated or, you know, whether on purpose with the job or with just trying to get in our cubicle and work or, you know, get into our office and work. So start to look at resources and tools. Educate yourself on sexual harassment. Don't wait for the training. Make sure that you're empowered from day one.
The Time Person of the Year for 2017 is Me Too, the Silence Breakers. This national movement we're seeing play out over and over across the country, wave after wave of revelations about powerful figures accused of harassment. Everyone from Chef Mario Batali to PBS star Tavis Smiley, just this week alone, have faced accusations that their organizations found credible. Let's go to your calls. We want to hear your stories out there. It's 549-2937. Regina is in Mandarin. Hi, Regina. Thanks for holding. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning. I wanted to bring up an incident that happened to me in 1993. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad women are coming and talking about everything. You know, and from the standpoint of women in law firms, this is happening in medicine, it's happening in tech fields. And I was pregnant with my third child, 1997. So it's not that long ago. I'm a physician. I got a flyer in my mailbox from a urologist that said about vasectomies and said, I thought you knew how to take care of this problem. It hit me like a tsunami. Now, there's nothing I could do, but it was an emotional kind of harassment, not physical. But why should it be another physician's business to tell me how to run my life? And I would like to hear comments, and I'll take the comments off the air.
All right, Regina. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Elizabeth Bowen.
You know, the types of harassment and the venues that people have for harassment, I mean, I hear what the caller is saying, and I can't even begin to tell you from being handed, you know, supply boxes that have penis pacifiers in them to you know, I'm serious, to inappropriate comments. I mean, it is the inappropriate behavior. And you know, the doctor is right. It's usually one individual in the organization, but that individual will seek out a vulnerable person, a person who either it's obvious they need the job, a person who's not in power. And, you know, it's hard to navigate, even if you say no, and even if you say, you know, you directly confront the person to make it stop without jeopardizing your career.
Tim is in St. Augustine. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that, speaking as a guy, I think the Me Too movement is way overdue. It's, you know, the harassment that you've been talking about is a particularly nasty form of bullying, and I support it 100%. I would, however, like to make the observation that to date, it's probably mostly impacted people on the left, people with a sense of shame, people like Al Franken, fundamentally good people who've done really stupid things. Where at the same time, the POTUS and people like Roy Moore feel they can brazen it out. So it's just the aspect of shame I would like to bring into the equation and ask what you think.
So you're saying you feel figures on the political right of the spectrum are not being held as accountable?
They seem to be acting as if they were immune. And obviously the president is the, if you like, the abuser in chief here.
I understand your point. Okay, thank you, Tim. Thanks for that call. Dr. Dunbar, let's point out, and I do appreciate Tim's call. At the same time, we just saw a Senate race in Alabama where The Democrat narrowly beat the Republican Roy Moore because he faced credible accusations of harassment. He was held accountable by the voters. Mm-hmm. Perhaps he did not own up to what he was accused of or show any contrition, but he was held accountable by the voters, particularly in that state, let's point out, overwhelmingly by African-American women who turned out in droves to support his opponent.
Abusers come in different shades and stripes. There are some who are just simply ignorant. Some of it comes from a place of arrogance. Some of it comes from a place of power and authority and influence. And it's across the board. It's even-handed. It's just the source of that energy is the difference. And typically, the personalities that are assigned to arrogant and power-based behaviors tend to want to blame, assign blame, that they do not take responsibility. It's something that they cannot comprehend for some reason. A lot of workplace coaching that occurs after incidents have happened are designed to address helping individuals to change their behavior, targeting the harasser, helping them to change their behavior to better understand why they do the things they do. And I encourage that also for women or for individuals who've been harassed as well, to try to understand what motivates these individuals and to approach them in a way that's more effective for them. That's a very hard thing to do. However, the more information and awareness you have about the environment that you're working in, the person who's doing it, their source of energy or power, the more equipped you are to make decisions, to make decisions that support, what the outcomes that you want to achieve.
Jennifer emails the show, "I was the victim of sexual abuse by a coworker at my very first job at a country club when I was an 18-year-old college student. I was embarrassed and humiliated. I was afraid of not being believed, of retaliation from the abuser. My father told me if I didn't report it, he would. So I had no choice but to go to my male supervisor and report the incident. My coworkers criticized me for doing so. They said that's just the way he is. Ultimately, it got so uncomfortable, I changed jobs. I've been dismayed by the criticism I've seen on social media about the women who have come forward. There seems to be a lack of understanding of the dynamics involved and the impact that sexual harassment and sexual assault have on women. We need to talk about the reasons why women may delay or not report what's happened to them in the workplace and the low incidence of false reporting. We need to move from Me Too to Believe the Women." And here is a comment on our Facebook page from a man named Matt. "I'm hopeful someone will start a local Me Too campaign like Me Too Jax. It could link sexual assault victims with support groups and help them move forward and prosecute assaulters. There are plenty of people in the city who have dealt with misbehaving boss, including me. People who work in small companies don't have an HR department and aren't covered under the EEOC. That's crazy. With a local group like Me Too Jax, you could report it, they will believe you, and you can get the support you need." And I do believe the Human Rights Commission takes those complaints as well, by the way. But let's take a few calls. Laura is in Mandarin. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about the shame. I worked at a fancy brokerage firm for 22 years, and my boss harassed me the whole time, and I guess I let it happen because the money was good, and it even happened the first day that I was with the firm. We went on a business trip, and when we were going up the elevator, he said to me, I don't have affairs on my wife. But it was like, why would he say that the very first day I was at the firm? And then other times, he'd say, oh, want a kiss, and he'd hand me a Hershey's kiss, and he'd tell me he loved me. And I mean, it was just, it went on, and I let it go on because, it was a good job. And now I've been retired for 5 years, and I feel so guilty that I let it happen, and ashamed. And the last time I went to the office to visit, he grabbed my ass. So anyway, the guilt of it, that I let it happen, is what is so hard for me now, looking back, that I just let it happen because I thought this was a great job. They're paying me a lot of money. It's the price of doing business.
Well, Laura, I would say not to beat yourself up about it. You were doing the best you could with a difficult situation like millions of other women out there and men, too, who have been harassed. So I would say let go of the guilt and the shame. You are not you have nothing to be ashamed of. You were trying to provide for your family. And I appreciate you calling, Laura.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, so many women like Laura are coming out with stories that are decades old in some cases because for the first time in my life, women now know that someone might actually listen and believe their stories. This is a big change.
It is a big change, Melissa. And, you know, I agree with the caller about a Me Too Jacksonville. The problem, the biggest problem I see is that the women that are able to come out and speak up and say Me Too are all, it's all in retrospect. The vulnerability of the of being in that actual position, the last caller saying she felt guilty, well, I actually tried to both stop the harassment, take proactive steps, talk to my boss. I even suggested that my boss go get counseling to figure out why, after 3 years of no, he wasn't hearing me, because no meant no. And I looked for, you know, when incidents would happen, I would look for a job, but I couldn't afford to just throw up my hands and walk out the door. And in so many circumstances, you can say Me Too after the fact, but when you're in the thick of it and you have to pay the rent, you do say brush it off, because essentially you don't, you know, for some of us, there's not another option, and that's really sad.
Right. Rob emails the show, as a Southern white man who's been a supervisor, I can tell you some of this attitude that sees women as objects to be controlled is systemic throughout our culture. When I stood up to it, I experienced blowback from the men in my office as if I were betraying them. Still, I did the right thing. And my opinion is we need to elect and promote more women into power positions to bring about change. More women in government, business, and across the board. It will take time, but we must keep trying to change the system. Dr. Dunbar, your final thoughts about this and advice for women and men out there who are dealing with a harassing situation.
My first thought is that individuals need to know where the resources are. So if it's not within your workplace, as you were saying before, it's the EEO office or the local EEO office or the Human Relations Advisory Board or Council. There are some communities where the Women's Commission has some power or authority to assist individuals who want to report. So those are very good, well-informed resources to just go and have that conversation, to start finding your voice, finding your power pulse, where you can take action. The second thought is for the women who are, you know, thinking of it in retrospect, that it's happened in the past, now is your time to influence policies, to make changes, to talk to young women, to advocate for future opportunities to get the message out and to change the culture that you grew up in so that it can be better for the future. For women who are in a situation now who just want a place to go and feel safe and to be in a non-judgmental environment, because I agree with Melissa, beating yourself up and second-guessing yourself and just wearing yourself down with anxiety and fear is not healthy. Please call me at the Center for Confidence. We can schedule a time just to talk in private. And I appreciate the thoughts on the Jacksonville Me Too movement. I'm pulling together information now for my website at thecenterforconfidence.com to give women information, tools, Q&As, and resources that can help them to just start thinking about what their next step should be.
Thank you both, ladies, so much for sharing your insights. We so appreciate you being here today. It's such an important topic. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So much, Melissa.
We were joined by Dr. V. Brooks Dunbar, a consultant and business coach with Jacksonville Center for Confidence. And also here, attorney Elizabeth Bowen. She's still working as an attorney. And all of the big law firms out there listening, you should consider hiring her. Just think about that and give me a call if you want her CV.
Thank you, Melissa.
You're really welcome.
What I really want is a different culture for my daughter.
We all want that.
Yes. That's what I'd really like to see.
We need that. And I want that too. And thank you so much. Much more still to come.
Melissa.
Thank you. Much more ahead, but right now we want you to show your support for WJCT. Here's how.
To support WJCT, give us a call at 904-353-9528. I'm Ryan Bank, a reporter on staff. And you could also go online to WJCT.org and you can become a sustainer, pay $5, $10, $15, $20 a month, whatever you can afford so that you can set it and forget it. That way, at the end of the year, you won't have to hear our voices making you feel guilty for not giving the entire year. You would have already had that taken care of. Now, if you are a sustainer, you can also help us end the year off strong by giving us an extra gift, a one-time gift on top of the sustainership that you already have. Now, why is this important? Well, obviously, we know that not every one of our listeners can afford to give. And we know that there are financial reasons that people have for not being able to support public radio. But when you support public radio, if you can support public radio, you're supporting it for everyone who cannot. That's the important thing here. It is a group effort, and we truly are this area's community radio station. Everything from federal, from national coverage down to the most localized coverage is played here on WJCT to give you the news and information that you need to make decisions in your daily life. So please give us a call, 904-353-9528, or go online to WJCT.org. We're trying to get 4,500 new supporters by the end of the year. We have 919 to go. We've put in quite a dent over the last day or so, but we have a long way to go in this very short pledge drive. Tomorrow is the last day, so let's not wait till the last moment, like sometimes happens, and let's get on the phones and ensure that that WJCT stays around for another 45 years. Give us a call, 904-353-9528. Again, those numbers are 904-353-9528. Another thing to remember, as you've probably heard on this radio station, there is new tax policy that is likely to be passed, and that would mean that individual deductions that are under $24,000 may not be able to be deducted on your next year's taxes. So even more important reason to get that tax benefit and support public radio at the same time, to do it before the end of the year. 904-353-9528, or you can call collect 1-800-722-9528, or online at wjct.org. And of course, we thank you.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Hey there, it's Joshua Johnson with a quick question. Are you a good listener? I guess you say you are, but why is it that at a time when we can consume more news and listen to more radio than ever, many of us have just stopped listening to each other? Every day on 1A, we'll champion your right to speak freely, and we know you're ready to talk. So join me, Joshua Johnson, next time on 1A from WAMU and NPR. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT.
I'm Catherine Burns, one of the hosts of the Moth Radio Hour, and I hope you'll join us here on 89.9 WJCT. With true personal stories told live without notes to standing room crowds around the world, Moth Stories aren't part of the disposable daily information flow. They stick with you, and you'll even find yourself retelling them. Listen Saturdays at 3 p.m. here on 89.9 WJCT.
From electronica to blues, listen to After Hours Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. only on 89.9 FM. Your community, your world, your music.
Welcome back. Well, the holidays are upon us, and many of you out there are scrambling to buy the hottest toys of the season for the kids. But not all toys are the same. Some are actually a danger to your children. The group Watch, or World Against Toys Causing Harm, puts together an annual list of the season's most dangerous toys, and the list for 2017 is out. Attorney Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Firm is following this, as he does every year, and he joins us now in studio. Hey, Wayne.
Glad to be with you.
And it's good to see you, because you bring this to people every year on our show, and you bring visual aids. You brought some of the dangerous toys right with you to the studio. I'm looking at them right now.
Yes, we have them here, because they represent the hazards that people need to be looking out for when they go, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, and they go out and shop. They need to have some things in mind that they need to watch out for.
Right. Buyer beware, as you always say. So who made the list this year? What are the toys we need to not buy?
The Watch organization was put together as a result of the work of Edward Schwartz, who was a nationally known product liability lawyer years ago. And he created this organization and books called Toys That Don't Care, Toys That Kill. And this is a way that we can identify the hazards for people to watch out for.
Excellent. I
can go through the types of things that we have here. One of the first things that a person should ask themselves, are the parts involved with this toy too small? Here's what looks to be totally harmless, a little xylophone.
Oh, I had one of those as a kid.
Yeah, and with the baton, though, that taps it, and it's too small because the baton itself will go right down a child's throat. I have a toilet tissue tube here. And if it will go in that tube, everybody has it available to them, then it's too small for the child.
That is such a good way to gauge this.
It is. And there are other devices that are out there, but this is a simple one to know about. So the first question to ask, is there something about this toy that's too small for a young child?
Yeah. The next, if it can fit through the little TP cardboard tube,
right?
Don't buy it.
That's right.
Okay.
And then the next one, I mean, if you have older children, remember that there may be younger children in the house who would have access to it, so you have that problem too. Here's the next question. Again, starts with an S. Does it strangle? Could it strangle a child? This cord on this little pull toy, which is a horse, is about 19 inches long. That's longer than the standard, which is supposed to be as short as 12. A child can get strangled, get it around their neck, or their brother or sister can do that. So if it's got a string like this, if it's possible to strangle, watch out for it.
You know, Wayne, I can't even believe this, because my folks have a little basket of toys that they keep at the house for when the grandkids come over. My kids and all the other grandkids are getting older now, but for years, the favorite toy in their basket was that. It was a little dog, a little plastic dog that had a string on it, and you would pull it along behind you,
of course.
It would click-clack as you pulled the doggy along. That was every grandkid's favorite, and my grandparents would get it out, or my parents. My parents would get it out every time.
Yep.
So but, now I'm learning that I shouldn't have let my kids play with this.
Well, you know, not every child is going to have this happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, seven last year died across the country. Thousands were injured, went to the emergency rooms as a result of these kinds of things that we don't think about. And so that's one reason for us to come on and identify some of these hazards. One of the other questions, again, starts with an S, so it's easy to remember. Just, you know, this is it sharp? This sword, which is out there on the market now, makes noise. Two kids, if there's one, you can expect that there's going to be another. If they do, they can ram the tip of this right into the other child's eye, and they lose their vision for the rest of their life.
Yeah, that's a plastic sword you're holding, but it's got a really sharp tip.
It does. That's exactly right. The other question that should be asked, and I have this crossbow.
A crossbow? Oh, my gosh. That thing is huge.
Yes. And with this device, the next question to ask a person shopping should say, does it shoot? Because if it shoots, it has the potential to send the projectile across the room, which I'll try to demonstrate to you. You put the arrow in.
It's a good thing we've got padding on the walls of Studio 5, huh?
It is. And so you then send it down. Whoop. This has been...
Not only is it dangerous, it doesn't even work.
It doesn't work today. It doesn't work today. So we'll see.
Oh, whoa.
There it goes across the room.
That thing hit hard.
How fast. And look at the tip here. Just like a dum-dum bullet, the tip is flat because it's going to spread the force out. And if it hits a child in the eye, then that child potentially has lost their vision for the rest of their life.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's small. To go back to the previous discussion, if they get that down their throat.
So the S's are small, string, sharp.
Whether it's small, whether it'll strangle, whether it's sharp, or whether it shoots.
Or shoot.
And then the other question is, or the other issue is it hard? Because the side edge of this thing, easily one child sword fighting with the other child could hit right at the orbit of the eye and get an orbital fracture as a result. So those are the key watchwords for people when they go out and shop for toys for younger kids, what to look out for, whether it's small, whether it shoots, whether it will strangle, you know, whether it's sharp, or whether it's hard.
What do you say to parents who might say, oh, okay, I understand this, but my kid has his or her heart set on this one toy, and I'm not, you know, I'll be watching, and I'll make sure nothing happens.
Well, they have to ask themselves, are they always going to do that? Many of these toys will say on the packaging, they're only to be used in the presence of adults. Mm-hmm. Well, is that real life?
Yeah.
No.
I know.
So avoid the hazard. The first thing to do is to avoid the hazard. The parent being there is one way to protect against it, but we know that the parent's not always going to be there. And we also know that there are going to be children playing together. And when children play together, sometimes the younger child is the one that gets hurt because one of these things is available and they might get it down their throat. They might get hit in the eye, injured. And we don't want to have something good, which is the holiday spirit and shopping for kids to make them happy, end up taking their lives or seriously injuring them.
It is amazing when you think about it. Just how many toys are out there on the market, including many I bought for our kids, with tiny little parts.
That's exactly right.
Tiny parts that are easily something a little kid could swallow and choke on.
So people should have these in their mind. A lot of times people are buying over the internet these days. Well, it's a lot better to actually go to the local shop. You can put your hands on the product. You can read the box, and you know what you're getting. A lot better to do it that way than to order it over line. The other thing is you don't know there's some counterfeit products that are out there. This year there were spinners that are out there.
Oh, they're all the rage.
Those kinds
of
spinners. Some of them have parts that break out. Mm-hmm. And others have turned out to have been painted with lead paint. And, of course, those things are going to go in kids' mouths and all that kind of thing that happens. So another thing to mention is secondhand. Once the toy has been in somebody's possession, then it gets out there into the aftermarket. So if a person is shopping and it's secondhand, it's got the same questions that people should ask themselves about. Again, I just want to go through it. Is it small? Will it strangle? Is it sharp? Does it shoot? And is it hard? If you ask yourself those questions, you have the potential to keep a child from getting badly injured or killed.
Such timely advice. And keep in mind as you're out there shopping, Wayne Hogan, always so good to see you. Such good information. And go to terrellhogan.com for more of the list of the most dangerous toys of the season, what you don't want to buy. Wayne, thanks again.
You're very welcome. Glad to be with you. Happy holidays.
You too. In a moment, The Spectator with a look at some holiday events coming up on the calendar and a live in-studio performance from Jacksonville's own Big Orange Chorus. Yes, some barbershop quartet on the show. That's right after this here on First Coast Connect on 89.9.
Hendrix Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Michael Cavendish and Cavendish Partners PA. Intelligent management of lawsuits for companies, investors, and executives. Offices in downtown Jacksonville. On the web at cavpartners.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Join us Friday for the Florida Roundup, a live call-in program where you talk about the biggest stories in the state.
This Friday, another week, another round of accusations of sexual misconduct in Tallahassee. Also, Corrine Brown is sentenced to 5 years in federal prison.
Join the conversation on the Florida Roundup.
Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, our guest will be Spike Lee, who has expanded and updated his 1986 film She's Gotta Have It into a new 10-part Netflix series of the same name.
You know, I don't believe in labels, but as a sex-positive polyamorous pansexual, words like monogamy and family have never even seemed like a remote possibility.
Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Picture this. A political unknown becomes president, unexpectedly thrust into high office, and the world gets nervous. Well, of course, we're talking about Harry Truman.
The greatest threat to us is the threat of disillusionment, the danger of insidious skepticism.
Author A.J. Baim on what President Truman can teach us about President Trump. Next time on 1A. Weekdays at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, it's the holiday season, and that means there are plenty of festive events coming up on the calendar to talk about. Here, as she is to take us all around town, we welcome the Mistress of Mayhem, the Maven of Mirth, the ugly sweater wearing Carrie Speckman is here today.
The best ugly sweater?
Gravedigger. You're wearing an ugly Christmas sweater that says Gravedigger on it.
Gravedigger. It's from the Monster Jam collection.
I like it.
It's quite awful.
It's one of the ugliest I've seen.
Thank you, but very soft.
It looks cozy.
Surprisingly soft.
Okay, so what's happening? Because as I look through your list, there are so many holiday-themed events.
Tonight is the totally lit Hanukkah party at Hemming Park. It is the first in a series, a year-long series of Hemming Park's designed to celebrate the diverse cultures of Jacksonville. They will have arts, crafts, games, a menorah lighting, music. It's going to be very cool.
You name it. So celebrate Hanukkah tonight in Hemming Park. And then Friday through Sunday and on into next week, you got everything from the symphony doing the Nutcracker this
Luminaria,
weekend.
Luminaria.
And that's over in Riverside
Saturday,
Avondale.
Saturday is San Marco. Mm-hmm. Sunday is Riverside Avondale.
Two chances to see the Luminaria. I say Luminaria. Is that wrong?
Whatever
is that
feel.
Like potato, potato?
Probably.
Okay. All right. So Luminaria this weekend, and then looking ahead, Jim Gaffigan's coming to town.
He is.
I love him.
I love him, too, in his Hot Pockets. He'll be here December 30th. Hot Pocket. At the arena, yes.
And then this is the big one.
The big one.
The Community First Lighted Boat Parade on the St. John's River.
Which we have judged together.
Yes, we have.
Yes, it's now, a big deal.
That is coming up at the end of the month, right?
That is on
after
the 30th.
After Christmas.
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right.
And then the Gator Bowl. And also, I just wanted to tell you, in honor of the Star Wars film that's opening this week, I looked up a Star Wars name for you. Your Star Wars name is Merkel Romaline.
How'd they come up with that?
And you can call me Kayatar Stabri.
I'll remember that.
And
I prefer Spectator, though.
Kukor Manfif and Madiel Colmar in the booth back there.
Those are their Star Wars names?
Got them, too. Yep.
Can I have a lightsaber while you're at it? I'd like to wield that on a few people.
Whatever you say, Merkel Romaline.
Okay. Go to the... And this is a short Carrie segment today. I apologize.
That's quite all right.
Because we can never get enough Spectator.
Really?
Go to thespectator.com. for all the holiday events around town. Do you want to stay and listen to some music?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure they're probably going to want me to jump in, but I won't.
You'll spare them that?
I'll just lip sync.
All right. She's going to lip sync because we have another event to tell you about. The Big Orange Chorus has a holiday show coming up this weekend. Jason Deering is here with his amazing quartet and a live preview. Hey, Big Orange Chorus.
Hey.
Hi, guys. So this is really cool, like barbershop quartet, right?
Yeah.
Jason, you've got a show coming up this Saturday at the Episcopal School of Jacksonville. This is a holiday tradition for you guys, isn't it?
Absolutely. We do this show every year. This will be the second year in a row that we've done it at the beautiful Munnerland Center at Episcopal School of Jacksonville. It's their fantastic new theater. We've done this show in the past at the Florida Theater and at JU's Terry Concert Hall as well.
What are you guys going to be singing for us right now?
We'll be singing Winter Wonderland.
All right, here they are, a special treat live in studio, the Big Orange Chorus.
Over the ground lies a mantle of white, a heaven of diamond shine down in the night. Two hearts are thrilling in spite of the chill in the weather.
In spite of the chilly weather.
Love knows no season and love knows no clime. Romance can blossom most any old time. Here in the open, we're rocking and hoping
together.
Forever. You know we'll stay together. Sleigh bells ring.
Are you listening?
Are you listening in the lane?
Listening.
A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
Wonderland gone away.
Is the bluebird here to stay?
Is the rockin' bluebird? He sings a love song as we go along.
Just walking in a winter wonderland.
In the meadow we can build a snowman. And pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town.
In town, when you're in town.
Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. Walking in a winter wonderland, that wonderland, walking in a winter wonderland.
Yay! The Big
swang,
Orange
baby.
Chorus, everybody!
That's what they call swing.
Oh, yes! You guys are
amazing! You guys
amazing.
Were swinging over there. It was fun.
Oh. Get your tickets
appreciate
now for their concert this Saturday afternoon at the Episcopal School of Jacksonville. Go to BigOrangeChorus.com. Guys, Merry Christmas. Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Oh. Thank you so much for that. That was a whole lot of fun.
Oh, it was fun. Believe me, it was even more fun for us.
I got it on video. I'm like,
oh, that's our show. Thanks so much for listening. Get those tickets, BigOrangeChorus.com. And 1A's up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow with hopefully something almost as exciting as the Big Orange Chorus. See you guys tomorrow.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.